Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
DFS D-Gen Nation. We are on to week 8. Where in the F is this season going?
I don't know.
We're almost halfway through already.
Crazy.
I mean, we're like less than a month away from the Thanksgiving slate. I mean, it's moving out here. So, good times. But that being said, we have another fun slate ahead of us. At least no buys this week. So, this is a full 13-game slate this week. But the totals aren't really there. You have the two highest totals of the game, or two of the week, is the Dolphins-Patriots game at 47. Then you have the Chiefs and Broncos at 47. Then there's a pretty little bit of a drop-off down to the Cowboys and Rams at 45.5. And then it just kind of gets worse from there. So I sort of feel like this week is a better week to just simply attack certain situations and not game stack. Because like the Chiefs game, like I don't feel real great on the other side of that, like bringing somebody back. The same thing with the Dolphins game. Like, what would you bring back? I assume you would probably play, you know, obviously the Dolphins side of that. And then, I mean, who do you bring back? Ramondre Stevenson or, you know, Kendrick Bourne, I guess. You know, like, I don't know if those game environments are really conducive to that. And so, to me, this feels more like, you know, pick your favorite stack and then keep it moving and not really need a run back. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, I tend to agree. And I also, in kind of the similar scenario, you know, a team I'm looking to get heavy exposure to this weekend is the Eagles. And you don't necessarily have to have a Washington bring back either. So, you know, Jalen Hurts can do a ton with his legs and do a ton through the air. And I mean, we saw it all last year, too, right, where the Eagles just pummel teams in the first half and don't really have to do much in the second half. And, you know, all the guys still get there. And this matchup, you know, when it was in Philly, actually went to overtime. So there is some sneaky shootout potential here again. You know, I don't necessarily expect it to go to overtime again, but, you know, being in Washington instead of Philly and Washington had success on offense last time, you know, second time around in the division game tend to be, you know, lower scoring. So I don't necessarily think that this is a must-have game, but I do like the Eagles. I like Jalen Hurts. You know where the ball's going on offense. Devontae Smith is bound to have a breakout game. It's coming at some point. He's too good to not have one. And yes, A.J. Brown has just been smashing week in and week out, but he's not going to – there's going to be a week where he does have a down week and Devontae Smith is going to spike. And I'm going to just try to be ahead of that, and I think that could be this week. So I do like the Hurts and Devontae Smith stack there. The other guys, I mean, same argument you made for Kansas City, I just made for Philly, can be made for Baltimore as well. You know, Lamar and that team in Baltimore, you don't really have to run back any Arizona guys, in that game. So there's really good offenses here on this slate that are just paired against dog shit offenses on the other side. So, it is a really interesting slate. I definitely like Hurts up top. Have to have interest in Mahomes as well, but Pacheco's in a good spot too, who can steal some production from him. A high total game that I don't know what I'm going to do with yet. I probably won't end up with QB from that game, but I do want pieces, and that's Rams Cowboys. You know, I think it's a great spot to go right back to Cooper Kupp. You know, nobody's going to, I hope, you know, his ownership is a little bit lower after the dud he put up last week. But Kupp is, I think, you know, I think the Steelers made it a priority to double team Kupp because they play a ton of man, whereas Dallas plays a ton of zone. And Dallas, ever since they lost Trayvon Diggs, the secondary hasn't been great. So I do like that game a little bit, the Rams-Cowboys, and those are consolidated offenses as well. So that game's interesting, but I don't know that I'll get to Stafford or Dak. There's just not really much that I think is worth paying down for. You know, you've got Geno at home against Cleveland, which Cleveland's defense, you know, they give up a bunch to Minshew, but I think that it was kind of fluky, right? Because their defense still actually did play pretty solid that game. Burrow's on the road at San Fran. Trevor Lawrence has a Q tag and he's in Pittsburgh. That sounds like something I want to stay away from. CJ Stroud in Carolina can be interesting. That's another, you know, another offense. We know exactly where the ball's going with Nico Collins and Tank Dell. But on the flip side, that's a matchup where you can run the ball, because Carolina is the worst run defense in the NFL. So, if we get any inkling of who's going to be the main guy, you know, is Singletary going to take over that backfield, or is it going to, you know, continue to be Damian Pierce? Or is it going to be, you know, 50-50 split? But I could see, you know, Houston, despite how many times they've thrown the ball this year, you know, if Carolina is struggling to score, you know, Houston should be able to have success on the ground. So there is a path where, you know, Stroud doesn't really hit a ceiling, but at the same time, you know, Carolina's defense has given up big games to quarterbacks, including to Jared Goff a couple weeks ago. And we've seen Stroud just chuck it, you know, all over the yard. So if I was paying downright QB a little bit, I do like Stroud. I'm outside of that, Derek Carr is probably the only other one that I have semi interest in, at Indy in the dome there. Indy, you know, showed last week that you can run on them. You can pass on them. You can do pretty much anything on Indy. Their defense is not very good. They've lost some key guys to injuries. And Derek Carr definitely has weapons. He's got Kamara back. Chris Olave, obviously, is a deep threat as long as he's not getting arrested driving 48 miles an hour over the speed limit. And then, obviously, Michael Thomas, who caught his first touchdown last week as well. So another consolidated offense that's pretty cheap is the Saints. So I actually do think Carr is interesting. I'm not sure I'll get there. I may just play the upside with Jalen Hurts with the rushing ability, but I do like the Saints as well, and they're pretty cheap this week. So, yeah, offense is pretty straightforward. I'm not going to get crazy, especially at QB. I think there's, you know, good QBs and good spots, and then it's just a lot of disgusting games, a lot of middle-of-the-road games, and that's evidenced by the totals across the board. There's no totals over 47 on this slate. And it's a lot of, you know, 43s and some upper 30s and only a couple that have decent totals here. So yeah, it's pretty straightforward for me.
Yeah, so I think this week is going to be tough, because one thing is that a lot of the teams, or a lot of the players, especially at quarterback, you really want to play. They're all really expensive. Where you have Mahomes is 8,400, you have Hurts is 82, Lamar Jackson's 81, and so like you really have decisions to make. Now Lamar Jackson's a little bit easier because some of his pieces aren't as expensive this week, where like, you know, Zay Flowers is 5,600 this week. And then you have Mark Andrews, 64, a little bit more expensive. But like a Mahomes, like, I mean, Travis Kelce is $8,400. He is the fifth highest priced player on the entire slate. He is the same price as Patrick Mahomes. And then, you know, more expensive than every other quarterback. Like, so you have to really want it to get there with Travis Kelce between those two, right? I mean, you could run it back with a, you know, Rashee Rice or something like that if you wanted to get a little bit cheaper, to lower down the price of that stack. But, you know, then you have the Jalen Hurts stack if you want to do that, and that is expensive in its own right. If you're going to run A.J. Brown, like you already thought, you know, kind of mentioned, but that stack itself, I mean, you have A.J. Brown at 8K, Devonta at 6.8, and Goddard at 4.6, and so that's not a cheap stack. So, like, a lot of these top guys that you want to get to are really expensive, and you really, you know, it's going to take up a good chunk of your salary, and it's going to make your roster a little more, it's going to make it, you know, very easy, where you're going to probably have a lineup that's very similar to a lot of other people. That's what I was looking for. And so, like, if you're paying down at quarterback, like, there's not a lot of obvious spots sitting out there, places that you can just easily get to. But, like, if you really wanted to go dumpster diving, like, I have to admit, like, you know, Desmond Ridder has been, he's been a top 12 quarterback over the last four games of the season. He has put up, you know, some decent fantasy production. Last week wasn't as good, only 16.8 DK points. Prior to that, 22 and 29. They've been throwing the ball a lot more. But the only thing that worries me about him is that you're looking at Will Levis starting for the Titans this week with Ryan Tannehill out. And so, like, if this is a team that we know will run the ball. And so I don't know if they get pushed to that point where that has to happen. The other one, I think, in a really good matchup would be Kenny Pickett, but he's been pretty awful this year. But, I mean, this is a great matchup. They allow almost 300 yards passing yards per game due to the Jaguars' defense and almost two touchdowns a game as well to quarterbacks. And so it's a great spot. But, I mean, Kenny Pickett has shown no ability to hit any sort of ceiling whatsoever. I think his best game this year is 18.5 DraftKings points, and that was all the way back week three. So, like, that's tough to really get to, even though the matchup is definitely there. And then, I mean, really, what are your other options at this point, you know? The other one, the guy that I think you could look at is maybe Derek Carr against Indianapolis. You know, the secondary for the Colts has been pretty bad. And, you know, we have seen a little bit of a ceiling game. I mean, the last 2 weeks, Derek Carr has went over, 20 DK points the past two games. But he's 5,500. It's not really of a sexy matchup. But, like, maybe if you wanted to pay down, you could do that. But the other one, I do think Joe Burrow, depending on what his ownership is going to be, 6K Joe Burrow is still too cheap. I think coming off this bye, they're going to have all their weapons healthy with Jamar Chase. And I think T. Higgins is finally going to be healthy here. And this, I mean, we saw last week, I mean, we saw Kirk Cousins dice up that 49er defense last week. And so I wouldn't mind getting to Joe Burrow, because the thing I know is, one, like, Charvarius Ward, who is the 49ers' best corner, he is not great. I watched him for years, and he gets burned a lot. And so I definitely think the Bengals could really, you know, give this 49ers defense some problems. And so I don't mind Joe Burrow at 6K if you want to get there. Like, I think you could look there. And then past that, like, maybe if you want to play Sam Darnold, as cheap as he is, because I know Sam Darnold hasn't been great, but within this offense, he's only $4,300. And so you're talking about some serious savings. Sam Darnold has in the past, especially like when he was in Carolina. I mean, if I remember, was it last year or the year before? I think it was the year before, where he just went on that like 6-7 game heater there to start the season. And so I think he can run this offense and Kyle Shanahan's offense. You still have Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle. And so if you really want to get different, I mean, $4,300 Sam Darnold could be what you look at if you're wanting to get, you know, really save some salary.
I mean, if you're even remotely on the team of Purdy as a byproduct of Shanahan, I mean, you have to have consideration of Darnold at $4,300, right? Because if you don't think Purdy could win in a different system, and it's the system itself that's producing, you know, good quarterback play, which I think it's part of it, but I do think Purdy's been pretty solid himself. I mean, $4,300 for a quarterback in that offense is pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, like,
and
I said,
with Debo out too, we know it's, you know, we know how consolidated it is. Like, with it's, I mean, it's Ayuk and Kittle, right? Whenever Debo's out, and there's some Juwan Jennings that gets sprinkled in, and they do a, you know, we'll do an occasional end around to Ray Ray McLeod and, you know, some gadget things. But for the most part, it's Ayuk and Kittle. And Kittle's affordable for his role without Debo. He's 5,400. Darnold's, you know, 4,300. You can even play them both of them with McCaffrey because of how cheap they are. And then you just get the entire, you know, you get pretty much every touchdown from San Fran if it's not Ayuk. So I really don't hate that idea of playing Darnold, assuming he starts, with McCaffrey and Kittle, and just getting every San Francisco touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, if you go back and look, so in 2020 last year, Sam Darnold in week 16 and 17 against Detroit and Tampa Bay, he dropped 22 and 22 in 2022. And then it was 2021 where he went on that heater for the fourth four games, and he scored 20, 25.3, 33.5. And then I think that's when he got a concussion or something like that. And then he kind of fell off the rest of the season, but so he can get there. And so, like, I don't really mind that at $4,300. I mean, that is so incredibly cheap for a quarterback, and he doesn't really need to have a huge ceiling game to be able to get you there at that price. Right. Like, I mean, if he goes and gets you 18, 19 DK points, you're pretty happy with that, because at that cost, like, it's not going to take a lot for him to get there. And so, if you're really wanting to pay down, I think Sam Darnold is probably it. Like, this feels like remember Andy Dalton a few weeks ago when he got the start against the Seahawks? Like, it feels very similar to that. And where he was, I mean, he was even more, but I think he was like 5K, 5,100, something like that. And he went out and dropped like 30 DK points, whatever it was. He was in the, I think he was the optimal quarterback that week. And he was in the winning lineup. And so, like, Sam Darnold can definitely get there. This isn't like your, like, this isn't Will Levis playing this week. Sam Darnold has proven, you know, that he can definitely, you know, get there 20, 25, 30 fantasy points. That is definitely in the range of outcome for him.
Yeah, no, I agree.
All right. So, I mean, for me, like I said, you're going to have to either make concessions if you're wanting to pay up into this top tier quarterback. I don't think there's a lot of other options that I'm really, like, super excited about playing. And so I think we can kind of move on and jump over to the running back position. And you have up top, once again, Christian McCaffrey is $9,200. You have Saquon at 8K. And then you have this 7K tier of Mostert, Derrick Henry, Tony Pollard, Alvin Kamara, Travis Etienne, and Kenneth Walker. And then in the 6K range, you have Aaron Jones, DeAndre Swift, Jonathan Taylor, Isaiah Pacheco, and Bijan Robinson at only 6K. Pretty significant price drop there for him. And so what are you looking at running back this week?
It's hard to not like McCaffrey, right? The whole he's questionable coming into the last game and then did not come off the field for a single snap. He played every single snap of the game last week. So it's really hard to not just click McCaffrey at 9,200, especially, you know, if Darnold's in there, maybe they scheme up more screenplays for McCaffrey in the pass game. Cause that was one thing that he really wasn't utilized much against Minnesota, was in the pass game. And when he was, you know, he did have a receiving touchdown, but his you know, he didn't have a ton of targets, only three, which I guess has kind of been the story over the last 3 weeks. He's had 3, 3, and 3 over the last three. But prior to that, you know, he was getting 8, 5, 3, and 5. So, I mean, I definitely think there's a little bit more pass game usage potential here. 9,200 for a guy that's scored a touchdown in his last 16 straight games is pretty solid. And then moving down the list, Pollard at 7,500 against the Rams. He's only got 2 touchdowns this year, but has the best red zone role in the NFL. He's got over 30 red zone touches. Kamara, more of the same. You know, he finally broke through and got in the end zone last week, and he just has the most unbelievable role in the league right now at the running back position for fantasy purposes. So it's really hard not to click Kamara's name at 7,300 against Indy, who's dealing with some injuries on defense. DeAndre Swift, if you're not playing Jalen Hurts, you have to have interest in DeAndre Swift. Against Washington previously, he put up 18 DK points. Had a rushing touchdown in that game, 4 targets, and we've really seen him utilize in the pass game pretty significantly. He had 10 targets 2 weeks ago against the Jets. So if you're not playing Hurts or you know, still want exposure to that Eagles offense, DeAndre Swift is definitely the lead back there, and is in a good spot there against Washington. Jonathan Taylor finally is looking better and better each week. He's getting his legs under him. Has a decent, it's not a great matchup against New Orleans, but definitely is one that he can have success in. And we mentioned it last week, right? Indy is running all over every team. You know, they have the best run game in the NFL pretty much at this point. No matchup is bad for them on the ground. And I cannot wait to play Jonathan Taylor next week against Carolina. I will say that I'm looking ahead. So sneak preview to week 9, but Pacheco 6,100 against Denver. Denver is another team that you can just run all over there in the Carolina bucket. Pacheco should have a monster game there against Denver. And if for whatever reason, Kansas City, you know, isn't getting things going through the air to where they're just smashing Denver, Pacheco can still be utilized in close games as well in the pass game. So, I definitely like him, and I probably am not. Also, if Zach Moss is limited with a Q tag, limited in practice Thursday, if he were to miss, I think you just have to play Jonathan Taylor because of the amount of volume that he would get, but that's something to keep an eye on. I probably won't play any of these cheaper running backs outside of Houston. I do have interest in Singletary, and he's below 5K. If he's going to take that starting role from Damian Pierce, or what maybe it doesn't even have to be the starting role, but what ends up being, you know, the majority of the work, that matchup against Carolina is a very, very good one. And we've seen, you know, how good CJ Stroud is this year, that offense is just going to be in a lot of scoring positions against Carolina. And so we saw it with Deontay Foreman last week. You get a cheap running back that's going to see a ton of volume in a good matchup. They can go out there and score, you know, three touchdowns any given week. So I definitely have interest in Singletary because Damian Pierce, quite frankly, has been bad this year. So they, for whatever reason, like Singletary, despite the fact that he couldn't keep the job in Buffalo, but he's been more efficient, which isn't saying much than Pierce has been. So I definitely have interest in him as a cheap running back, but that's pretty much it for me. I'm going to keep my running back pool confined to those guys.
All right. So, I mean, for me, I think a couple players that I don't think you hit on, but I definitely agree with Alvin Kamara, that call there, Pacheco 100%, but Breece Hall, I am going to have a very large amount of Breece Hall this week. Great matchup against the Giants. And we saw last time that Breece Hall played in week 6, he handled almost 70% of the snaps. He handled 63% of the rush tips at 60% of the routes with a 16% target share in that game. I mean, this is an easy play for me. If you look over the last three games, the Giants have allowed a 6.01 yards per carry average, 3 touchdowns, and 56 receiving yards over that span. And so this is a great matchup for Breece Hall. We know that he is going to be the lead back here. He's going to be the workhorse now. And at $5,900, it's just too cheap. Like, he should be 7K is really what he should be in this matchup. And you're getting him at such a discounted rate at $5,900. And so I am just probably – I may even lock button Breece Hall into this lineup that I'm going to play because – he's just such an easy play, great matchup. I mean, you couldn't ask for more. And like I said, the role, everything else, it pretty much checks every single box. And so Breece Hall at $5,900, I do like that a lot. Now, the Houston situation that you mentioned, I think it could go either way because one reason I think actually Devin Singletary, and that was reported after that, because Devin Singletary, or Damian Pierce only played 35% of the snaps week 6 and only handled 40% of the rush attempts that week, but it was reported afterwards that he suffered somewhat of a knee injury, and that's why that he was utilized less. It wasn't about Damian Pierce was struggling or anything like that. It was actually something that he got hurt. And so, with that being said, I do expect that he is still going to be the 1A, and this is probably the best matchup that you could possibly ask for. Because the Panthers have allowed the third most rushing yards, the most touchdowns, and the second most DK points. And they've only played in 6 games, too. So to be that bad and you've already had your bye really tells you how bad they've been against running backs. And so it is tough because Damian Pierce is really cheap, right? He's $5,300. Singletary is super cheap. And so, like, if you want to play one of them, I don't hate it. If you have a lean and you think it's Devin Singletary, fine. But I definitely think you could be wrong on that with Damian Pierce. Then we also have, it's not even necessarily that one. I think if you're really wanting a cheap play this week, it very well could either be Kareem Hunt or Pierre Strong. Pierre Strong is only $4,300. And last week against the Colts, once Jerome Ford went down, which was frustrating because I played a decent amount of Jerome Ford, and he really had that, 60-plus yard touchdown ripped off right out the gate. It was okay.
Yep.
We're going to be cooking. And then he got hurt. But so Jerome Ford is not going to play. I mean, he's doubtful. I highly, highly doubt it. He hasn't practiced, and I don't think he's going to play. It's just like he has a high ankle sprain. And so if he doesn't play, against Seattle, but you have Kareem Hunt, and then, like I said, you have Pierre Strong. But once he went down, Pierre Strong actually handled more snaps and more touches than did Kareem Hunt. It makes sense because I don't know. Like, I think there's people that expect that Kareem Hunt's just going to take over the backfield. And he's going to get 60-70% of the workload. I don't think that's what's going to happen. Kareem Hunt has been dealing with his own injuries, a groin injury, a thigh injury. He's kind of been nursing. He's been getting in limited practice again this week. I think it really could be the Pierre Strong show. And Pierre Strong, if you're not familiar with him, was a super athletic running back. Came from a small school, so didn't really get the draft capital or anything like that. Was traded to the Browns. But, you know, he really looked pretty explosive with the limited opportunities he got. And at $4,300, like, that's incredibly cheap. And I think he's going to play the Jerome Ford role. I think that's what he's going to do. And Kareem Hunt's probably going to continue being that guy where he handles 40-45% of the touches, where I think on the other hand, I think Pierre Strong is going to be the guy who does 55-60%. I think that's how this is going to play out. And so, I think I'm going to lean in and play some Pierre Strong this week. I'm not going to, go heavy on him, but at $4,300, he doesn't need to do a whole lot to get there, and he is the most healthy running back they have on the roster right now. And so, $4,300, I do like him quite a bit this week. I think he's kind of a sneaky play. We'll see if he gets any ownership. But and then lastly, maybe Javonte Williams. I mean, the Chiefs have been pretty good against the run, but they've started to struggle a little bit recently in terms of stopping the run. Javonte Williams has started to look more and more explosive. We've seen Jaleel McLaughlin last week. I think he only played 18% of the snaps. It kind of fell off pretty significantly. But you could look there if you wanted to as a situation. The last 3 weeks, the Chiefs have allowed the 11th most rushing yards on the season, and so, or over the last three games. And so, I do think he is in play. We're seeing Javonte Williams coming off his best game, 13 DK points last week, where he played 55% of the snaps, 63% of the rush attempts, and 40% of the routes, with a 17% target share for Javonte Williams. And he's super cheap here in this matchup against the Chiefs. You just have to hope game script at least allows them to continue to run the football. But I do think you could look there. And then lastly would be Ramondre Stevenson, still really only $5,400. He's starting to be utilized more in the passing game. Now, we've seen the last two games, we've seen 11 targets. That's why we've seen him jump up 18 and 14 and a half DK points the last 2 weeks. And he's still very cheap. Miami really struggles to stop opposing running backs. And so at $5,400, I think Ramondre Stevenson is also somebody that I'm going to be looking at playing this week. And even if they do fall behind, he could be heavily utilized, kind of an Alvin Kamara light, right? That's kind of the role we thought he was going to get heading into the year. Didn't really happen to start the season, but we're starting to see him trend more up and then actually starting to utilize him more as a pass catcher, which is what made him so useful last year.
Yeah, I don't have any issues with any of that.
All right, so if you don't have any other running backs to talk about, I don't really need to harp on anybody else. I think those are all the guys that I really wanted to hit on. I did want to mention Raheem Mostert. He is questionable. He was a limited participant. I do expect him to play. A lot of people freaked out yesterday because Tyreek Hill missed, and which I don't know why everybody freaked out about that. It's pretty common for especially veterans to get rest days on Wednesdays. I don't know why everybody freaked out about that, but he was back at practice. But anyways, I just wanted to mention Raheem Mostert. He was the other guy. He is super expensive. They finally have priced him up.
Finally.
And it's funny because it came off a bad game for him, but they finally priced him up. He's $7,700. So he's not nearly as intriguing, especially in a week where he came back and he only played 52% of the snaps, but he did handle 75% of the rush attempts. But we've seen this matchup before, week two, where he ripped off 127 yards and two touchdowns for 25.7 DK points. But I am a little bit concerned because it feels like this could be a little bit of a running back by committee. He did handle 75% of the rush attempts last week, but he only ran 36% of the routes and a 6% target share, which isn't great, especially at $7,700. So they finally priced him up. I don't know if I'm going to get there. The matchup is not bad, but I don't know if you really need to play him at that price.
No, I'm not playing Mostert at $7,700. I'd rather play Pollard at $75, Kamara at $73, and then I'd just pay the extra $1,500 for CMC at $9,200.
Yeah.
Right. I think Jeff Wilson's going to start to get more involved. He didn't really play much in his first game back. But I definitely think that's coming. So, and if Mostert were to somehow be out, Wilson would just be a lock button probably for me.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go ahead and move over to wide receivers.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards. Really, guys, some decisions to make this week there. You have Tyreek at $9,500. Like we mentioned, just talked about him. He's playing this week. Cooper Kupp's 9K. Then you have a little bit of a drop-off to Jamar Chase at 8,100. A.J. Brown, 8K. And then Puka Nacua at 79. CD Lamb, Jalen Waddle, Brandon Ayuk wrap up the 6K or 7K wide receivers. 6K wide receivers, DK Metcalf, Devonta Smith, Adam Thielen, Michael Pittman, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Amari Cooper, and Tyler Lockett wrap up the 6K at above wide receivers. Is this a week that you're really going to want to pay up, or are you trying to pay down a little bit this week?
Actually, a little bit of both. There's guys I pretty much like in all three ranges, top, middle, and bottom. So I already mentioned Cooper Kupp. I'm out on Tyreek Hill this week. Belichick has always done a really good job of not necessarily taking Hill completely out of the game, but limiting Hill's ceiling. And we saw that in week two, right? Like New England just played back and let Miami just run the ball over them and played more of a clock game and kind of took away the explosive passing. So I think that's more of what we see in the second divisional matchup of the year between these two teams is Belichick's totally fine with, if Miami wants to run the ball, but is going to, not necessarily try to get beat deep. So I like Kupp more than Tyreek this week, and I'll go right back to the Kupp. Well, I played him last week. He caught two passes on seven targets, which is not ideal, but I definitely think he can have more success against Dallas as long as that offensive line can hold up against Dallas's defensive front. Stafford should be able to find Kupp several times over the course of that game. So A.J. Brown, it's hard not to like him, but at some point, right, he's going to have a game where he doesn't have 100 yards and or a touchdown. So I really like Devontae Smith this week for that reason, because we have not seen a Devontae Smith spike week, and there is one coming. Week two, you have to go all the way back to week two when last time he had over 100 yards, and he had several games over 100 yards last year. And he's a guy that's just heavily utilized in their game plan week in and week out in Washington. In the first game they played, he had nine targets in that game. I think 100 yards and a score is coming for Devontae Smith this week, so I like him a lot. Olave is another one in that mid-range, 6,400 against the Colts. The Colts give up a ton of production to outside receivers. As long as Olave is not doing what Calvin Ridley did and just run go routes on the outside, which he doesn't. Olave has they utilize him in a lot more ways than what Calvin Ridley and Amari Cooper are utilized in. So Amari and Calvin tend to stay a lot in the outside. Deep down the sidelines is where, their ceiling plays are. And he's done, a decent job of defending that, but they still struggle to perimeter receivers. So I do like Olave at 6,400. He's got a decent ceiling. Christian Kirk is back in another spot against a man heavy Pittsburgh defense. We want to target Christian Kirk in man matchups, because we know Calvin Ridley's man coverage numbers have not been as strong. And Kirk really gets the bump there when facing man heavy teams. So I do like Kirk at 5,900. Jordan Addison is another one. He had a big week last week, but it's definitely not a fluke because he is talented. The one touchdown was a fluke. So if you take that off, I guess he's only finishes with six catches for 70 yards and a score, which still gets you to 20 DK points instead of the 34 that he put up, but he's only 5,700. So 20 is not going to kill you at all. So I think Addison is definitely in play, divisional matchup there against Green Bay. Zay Flowers is another one that just continues to have decent usage, but has really struggled to find the end zone. But I mean, he's not going to ever kill you. He's going to get you double digit points pretty much week in and week out. And if he somehow finds the end zone, he can start to creep up into that 20 point range. And again, he's only 5,600. So definitely has a good floor ceiling combo there. And then if you're playing CJ Stroud, you have to have interest in Nico Collins at 5,500 and Tank Dell at 4,900. Both those guys are just too cheap for their talent and their usage in that offense. So if you're not on the run game there in Houston, I think Houston puts up points against Carolina just because Carolina is a bad defense overall. So you have to like Nico and Tank Dell there. Pretty cheap guys. 5,300, Terry McLaurin is another one. I mean, there's good spots all over the place here, but McLaurin had 23 DK points against Philly, And that was a fluky touchdown. I'm pretty sure he had a fumble recovery for a touchdown in that game, because it was not a receiving touchdown. But he had 10 targets against Philly. McLaurin is you know, week in and week out, he sees, you know, 8 to 10 targets. And this is a spot they should be trailing. And if they're not trailing, it's because they're having success on offense. Because I don't expect their defense to stop, you know, Jalen Hurts on the other side. So McLaurin's in a good spot, and he's only 5,300 as the number one receiver there for that offense. And then if Christian Watson is out, which I'm assuming he's going to be, where is he on this list? I guess I should probably do.
I think he's good to go. I think he's
supposed. Is he?
I think he's supposed to play.
Okay, never mind then, because I was going to say Dobbs would be the 1A there, and Jaden Reed would be the obvious number two if Watson were to miss in a decent matchup against Minnesota.
He logged a full practice today and Wednesday.
Yeah, because I saw he like left the game or something with a hamstring issue or leg issue.
A knee.
Yeah. So that was obviously concerning, considering they were, you know, trying to drive to win the game, and I don't think he was on the field. So so that's good that he's back. I mean, he's definitely in play. He always has a ceiling. And then the other guy that I feel like I've recommended him almost every week except last week, and it's finally the last week is the week he exploded. But Josh Downs is a very, very good receiver. He's 4,800, and we know that we want to attack the Saints in the slot. We did it with Christian Kirk last week. It's another good spot here for the slot receiver. So I really like Josh Downs again, and Minshew continues to target him over and over and over again. He seems to be Minshew's favorite receiver. So, and Michael Pittman's trying to come out now and get the squeaky wheel narrative that Davante Adams is all these other top receivers are trying to get. And I don't think Michael Pittman is going to be, you know, just game planned and force fed a ton of targets, especially when it's you know, the man coverage heavy Saints that are going to roll Lattimore to Pittman's side more times than not. So I think it's another really good spot for Downs, and I think the talent is there, and I don't think it's chasing points at all. I just think he's too cheap.
Yeah, I mean, very similar to the Jaguars game against the Saints, where we saw Christian Kirk go off, and Calvin Ridley didn't do anything in that game. So when it comes to Josh Downs. So I do agree with that. I think that's a great call. You're somebody that I was going to talk about. I do like that play a lot. I think Zay Flowers at $5,600 is still too cheap. And then you have George Pickens, who's $5,600. I like this matchup for him this week against the Jaguars. Like I already mentioned, the Jaguars really do struggle against opposing wide receivers. And I think George Pickens is in a very good spot this week to really excel at this, and Pickens leads the team in starters and target rate against zone coverage, and he should be able to have. I think he's going to be in a really good spot this week. He's actually top 25 in fantasy points per route run against zone this year, and so I think George Pickens, he's incredibly too cheap. We've seen his ceiling multiple times this year where he's been able to hit 30 DK points, even with Deontay Johnson. I'm still okay with it, and so he's only $5,600. I think T. Higgins, I already kind of mentioned him. I don't think anybody's going to play him. He's been really bad this year, but I think he could come back in a pretty big way. He's $5,900. That's too cheap for, I think, the upside that he possesses. He may not be this cheap again rest of the season. And then, you know, I completely agree with the other guys that you brought up. I do think Kendrick Bourne is still in play at $4,700 as long as, you know, the Patriots decide to keep, you know, featuring him. But he is, nearly hit 20 DK points each of the last 2 weeks so far. And so I do like him as a play this week. So I think those are kind of in terms of the top wide receivers, you know, like it's so frustrating last week with the Rams, because I usually will try, you know, will sometimes fade, Cooper Kupp because how expensive he is. Like last week he was like $9,400. And it was super frustrating there because I went super heavy. I think I played like 70% Cooper Kupp. Like I was like, I'm jamming him in, having all my lineups. And then of course he just has one of his worst games he's had in a long time. That was frustrating, but we just know the volume will be there. Like it's going to be there for either him or Nacua. We continue to see it. Matthew Stafford is the kingmaker of wide receivers. I mean, if you just go back in time, that man has made wide receivers. I mean, even guys like, Kenny Golladay.
Kenny Golladay is the prime example.
Yes, like did absolutely nothing once he left, but while he was there, I mean, he put up, I think, 2,000-yard seasons with Matt Stafford. And so, you know, I don't mind still going back to that well, especially if people are scared off. He's only 9K. And I mean, that game could have some, you know, really some shootout potential between these two offenses. Like the upside is certainly there for it to happen. And so, back to Cooper Kupp, I think is fine.
Do you like Kupp more than McCaffrey? Because you can't play both. So you kind of have to choose. And obviously, if you're, multi-entering, you would want probably exposure to both. But with them being similar priced, if somebody was only playing one team, which one would you prioritize?
I think for me, I think you look at, I think I would probably prioritize probably McCaffrey.
Okay.
Just because of the bankable volume that you know he's going to get. And you could also see Sam Darnold dumping it off to him quite a bit as well. So I just feel like that volume is definitely going to be there where, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all if it was Puka Nacua that ends up having another good game this week. And then Cooper Kupp took a back seat. Like, it almost seems like they're kind of alternating a little bit here in terms of big time production. So I think McCaffrey's a little bit safer, but I do think Kupp is probably going to have the lower ownership.
Especially after last week's dud, you would think.
Yeah.
Your boy Mike Evans just caught a touchdown too, by the way.
I know, I saw that. I jumped up pretty big, but not anywhere where I need to be. I need another. I need another stop here, boys, and then another long touchdown to Mike Evans to make that happen. But yeah, past that, I mean, like, I think you. I mean, Adam Thielen, the dude sees incredible volume. I mean,
yeah,
he's seen at least 13 targets in 3 of the last 4 games. The dude's put up monster numbers: 34, 15-2. 30.7 and 31.5. He's scoring touchdowns at a high volume as well. He scored a touchdown every week, but in 4 of the last 5 games as well. I mean, and the dude just been absolutely money. He went over 100 yards receiving 3 of those 4 games too. So $6,600. It feels like he should be more expensive, shouldn't it? I mean, like, with the production that he's putting up.
It does, yeah. I've just hated attacking Houston's defense this year. They've like just been quietly very, very solid. But I agree. I mean, the volume's there, right? 13, 13, 8, 14, and 9 targets since week 2. It's. I mean, he's been over 30 DK points 3 times. And the other games were 20 and 15. If you throw out week 1 where he only had 3 points, I mean, over 20 points in 4 of 5, over 15 points in all of them, 6,600, isn't terribly expensive for that. I mean, yeah, I mean, you have to like his role that he's got there.
Yeah, so I mean, if you look at it, so to lend a little credence to what you're saying, so the Texans play zone at a top 5 rate in the league. And they've earned an 87.7 team coverage grade, which ranks 6th best in the league.
Yeah.
And then that Houston's also only allowed a touchdown on 32% of zone coverage plays, which is top 7 in the league. And so, yes, they have done a very good job. But on the flip side of that, Adam Thielen has absolutely torched zone this year. He's posted an 85.6 receiving grade versus zone, which is top 10 among all wide receivers. And he has put up over almost 400 receiving yards against zone this year. But he's still done a really good job against man, too. 183 yards against man. So, and he actually has a higher this is something interesting. He versus man, he actually has a 31% target share. But against zone, he only has a 20% target share. So that's interesting, where it drops off a little bit more pedestrian. Actually, Terrace Marshall actually has the highest target rate against zone coverage this year for the Panthers at 21%. Interesting. Yeah. So Adam Thielen's target rate actually drops down pretty significantly. And like I said, the Texans do run zone at the 4th highest rate in the league, 82.7%.
I just have hated targeting guys against Houston. Like, once we figured out, like, their run D is not abysmal like it has been in the last couple of years, like, that defense as a whole is I think it's pretty solid. So I've kind of stayed away from, targeting the Houston defense.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's either going to burn us or you stay away from him. Because I do think he's going to carry some decent ownership at that price. Yeah. Other than that, I don't know. I think you pretty much hit on the other guys that I really would want to talk about here. Brandon Ayuk is the other guy that I did with 7K against Cincinnati. Like I've talked about, like I'm fine with Sam Darnold. I think he's a serviceable backup quarterback. And so I think Brandon Ayuk could definitely get there. He is 7K, a little more expensive, but Deebo Samuel likely isn't going to play again this week, so we don't have to worry about that. And so if you want to go with Brandon Ayuk, who I don't think is going to carry a lot of ownership, especially with Sam Darnold playing quarterback, I think people are going to stay away, especially at the price. So 7K, Brandon Ayuk, I think is actually a pretty smart play too at that price tag. So I'm fine with doing that as well. If you're wanting to get there. But other than that, I don't really have any interest in the Carolina, the Jaguars wide receivers. We know the Steelers play one of the highest rates against man coverage this year, and both Calvin Ridley and Christian Kirk have been gross against zone coverage or against man coverage this year. They both rank outside of the top 50 in terms of fantasy points per route run against man this year. So, they have both not done well. It sounds like Zay Jones might actually return this week too, which if Zay Jones returns, it kind of makes me a little bit less excited anyways about Christian Kirk, because Zay Jones is one of the two guys plays on the outside. And so, you end up seeing him fall off a little bit, Christian Kirk, because he only plays, three wide receiver sets. And so that ends up hurting him a little bit, but I will say that. So I don't really have any interest in either one of those guys just because of the matchup and the way Pittsburgh operates. But past that, like I said, I mean, in the middle range, I love George Pickens and Zay Flowers. I think both of those, I think you can make a case for Nico Collins too at $5,500. But if you want to attack one of the run backs in terms of the Broncos defense, I don't really love either one of them. The Chiefs defense has been fantastic this year, but they are cheaper at Jerry Jeudy at 54, Cortland Sutton 53. But, past that, like I said, and Ray Rice, I want to hit on him. Rashee Rice has been phenomenal this year. His 0.80 yards per route or fantasy point per route run this year is second among all wide receivers. Like, he has been fantastic. We're starting to see his usage go up finally. They've had some wide receivers get hurt. And so Rashee Rice, I think, ends up at 5K. This could be a smash matchup for him going against the Broncos. So he's only 5K. And then Tank Dell, we have to remember what he can do at $4,900. So anyways, I feel like I'm just rambling now. So you kind of hit on the other guys. Those are the guys I really wanted to hit on. So let's go ahead and move over to tight end, unless there's anything else you want to talk about.
Nope, I'm good.
All right, so let's go ahead and jump over to tight end. And do you really have to want it to play Travis Kelce, like I mentioned? $8,400.
I am not.
For Travis Kelce.
I am not.
He has to smash to make that up. And which he can. I mean, he has torched the Broncos for the most part in his career. But, then you have a $2,000 difference between him and Mark Andrews. TJ Hockenson is $6,200. George Kittle is $5,400. Darren Waller, who's finally starting to show signs of life, at $5,200. Dallas Goedert, $4,600. Evan Ingram, Taysom Hill. And then you have some of the cheaper guys with Dalton Schultz. And then you have somebody that I did want to hit on here that I'm going to keep scrolling down. And that is one and only Trey McBride.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Actually in a smash spot, $2,800. It is against Baltimore. But, I mean, this guy could see a 20-25% target share with Zach Ertz on the table. He's super cheap at $2,800. And so I think you could look at somebody like that. I think he's in a really good spot. And also, someone else I want to mention is Tucker Kraft was only $2,500. It sounds like Luke Musgrave is going to miss this week with some of the stuff that was talked about by LaFleur today, by making it sound, by basically saying that Kraft's going to have to step up. He was also a second round pick this year for them. And so Tucker Kraft could also be somebody we look at. He's only $2,500.
What's up with you and T Crafts and T Crofts?
Hey, this guy's actually hashtag good. This is it. He's actually a second round pick for the Packers and very good athlete.
No, yeah, I agree on McBride. $2,800 for what his role can be in that offense is too cheap. Despite the tougher matchup against Baltimore, it's a game they're going to be trailing. But the only other two tight ends that I have interest in are George Kittle at $5,400 and Dallas Goedert at $4,600. Those are the two tight ends I'm zeroed in on. You're gonna have to convince me to get off George Kittle, because I find it very hard to not play Kittle this week.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you want to look at a few different options, Jake Ferguson at $3,600, you know, in that say, or and it gets this Rams or Rams defense is another direction you could look at. But I just don't think I can get up to $8,400 Kelsey. Like, it has to be in a stack or something with Mahomes.
No, dude. I mean, think about all the running backs and receivers we just talked about. Like, I'm just not paying $8,400 for a tight end.
Has he ever been this expensive? I can't remember.
No, he has not.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, he's a cheat code. I mean, he's averaging 20.
He costs the same as Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. But, I mean, the next closest tight end is 15.6 and Mark Andrews, and then TJ Hawkinson at 13.9, and then it's kind of a drop-off. Like, so, like, I get it, but, like, he has to absolutely smash.
But in the thing with him, though, is yes, he can smash, but he doesn't smash that often. Like, so he's regularly above 20 points, right? Like 20, 22, 25. But his 38s and 40s are – there's only, you know, one or two of them a year. And the rest are just, you know, 15 to 25, which if he gets you 15 to 25 at $8,400 at tight end, there will be a cheaper tight end, George Kittle, that matches him. So, yeah, I'm not paying up for him this week.
Yeah, I'm not. I can't do it either. I guess it's just when I saw that, I was like, Jesus. Like,
yeah.
What are we doing? But, yeah, I agree. So, other than that, like, I think that's really where I'm at tight end this week. You know, I don't mind the, you know, the Darren Wallers or the Dallas Goddards of the world, especially a part of stack. You know, mainly I'm probably just going to, in my stack that I'm going to play, I'll probably just run it with the tight end, kind of include him in that. So, that's kind of where I stand, at least right now with tight end. So I think we can go ahead and move over to defense.
Minnesota Vikings.
Really, I mean, so you have the Broncos, the Patriots that are down here in the 2K range, the Cardinals, the Bengals at $2,200 feels mighty enticing if you don't believe in Sam Darnold. But I also believe that they're going to carry a ton of ownership.
Yeah, I would think so. I like the Vikings personally. The Vikings defense has actually been playing pretty well, and they have 19 sacks on the year.
Yes, and Jordan Love has.
And Jordan Love is not it.
So I definitely like that call. I think that's actually a really good call. You know, with the Vikings at only $2,500, that feels extremely underpriced.
Yeah, and it's a divisional matchup too, right? So they know each team knows each other really well, and divisional matchups tend to go a little lower scoring than normal. So that's probably where I'll end up on defense is the Vikings.
All right. Well, I don't think there's any more reason to waste any more time. So let's go ahead and build. You want to build a lineup?
Yeah.
All right, well, start us off. Where do you want to start off at?
Let's play Kamara.
All right, Alvin Kamara, $7,300. Oh, I'm going to play my guy. I'm going to go Breece Hall.
Okay, I'm going to mini stack Kamara with Josh Downs.
Just trying to decide, do I want to go Darnold or do I want to go Lamar Jackson? You know what? I said it. Let's do it. I'm going to go Darnold.
All right, go ahead and plug Kittle in then.
Because I think we should be able to afford it, let's just go ahead and plug in the Vikings D. This is a game I'm actually going to run back, and I'm going to go Chase.
Okay.
And we still easily afford it with Sam Darnold. So right now we have Darnold, Kamara, Hall, Downs, Chase, Kittle, and Vikings D with wide receiver and flex remaining and 58-50 remaining.
Let's go. I want Eagles exposure, so let's go Devontae Smith.
67, so at least 5K at the flex.
Yep.
You know, I want some access to this game. I know he doesn't really attach to anything, and he's not really that correlated, but I'm going to go with Rashi Rice at 5K.
Okay.
A little late night hammer.
I was going to say him or Tank Dell. I'm good with Rice.
All right, so let's lock in this lineup here. Sam Darnold, Alvin Kamara, Breece Hall, Josh Downs, Jamar Chase, Devonta Smith, George Kittle, Rashi Rice, and Vikings. I kind of like this team. I'm not gonna lie.
I like it.
Let's go, Sam Darnold. Smash just one time for me.
About to watch Baker's about to throw a Hail Mary here with 2 seconds left.
You would see me lose my mind if
Evans catches it.
Yes, Evans just comes up and just hawks it out of the air.
Let's see. The Bills just went offside, so 5 yards closer. They're right at midfield. 4 seconds. So it's last play of the game, barring a penalty. No, they're in the 45, not midfield.
Why is nobody deep? Are there? Or maybe I can't see that.
Yeah, they have five deep guys.
He's about to get sacked.
How does nobody go up for that?
It just hit the ground.
It just hits the ground. How does nobody jump for that?
I've never understood that. Like when that happens, like when I see it, when, like everyone's just staring at the ball. Like, no one even goes for it.
Oh, Godwin actually could have caught that. He never saw it. Oh my gosh. If Godwin saw it, that was a touchdown.
What is Mike Evans doing too? Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't know. And I guess it's easy to sit here and watch it from my freaking couch to be able to sit here and say this, but like, it feels like, I'm like, how do people not run up and see it? Like, how does Mike Evans not run through so they run up and you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Obviously. So anyways, all right, that was fun. We got to anyways, let's go ahead and get out of here on that note. So Baker Mayfield should have had that, should have hit Mike Evans. We'd be dancing in money right now. So anyways, hope everybody has a good week. Let's go ahead and win some money this week. Week 8, this slate, it's not a bad slate. It's better than it was last week, I will say that. I don't think it's as gross as it was last week. I think there's some good spots here. I think some good leverage points in terms of the, different positions. So I just don't know about getting $8,400 Travis Kelce. So anyways, everybody has a good weekend. Let's win some money. And we'll see you again next week for week 9. Have a good week. Bye. Think you can tell me what to do? You know who you're talking to? To the way the war back, I see what you got, adventures and ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. Dangerous, you know. Dangerous, you know. Think you're a big man. You like your little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. What? That's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.